do I receive what Jesus said? Last week, as I was studying through this passage, there's a verse that I just ran right by the first few times I studied through it, and I almost overlooked it. But it's so key to understanding this passage. We saw in verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." The verse I almost ran past then is the one that follows in verse 39. Look carefully at this. "But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." There it is. The key is deep drinking from Jesus to receiving the living water that he promised to give. Think carefully about this verse. Think about this water work that Jesus was talking about. It's a two-step process. First, you have to believe fully in the glory of the Savior. When Jesus made this great declaration at the feast, he was looking ahead to the future. Remember, he came to Jerusalem. He knew he was going to be hated. He knew they were trying to kill him, and he knew eventually they would succeed in killing him. But he also knew that the trial of his crucifixion would lead to the triumph of his glory. And that's what John is talking about when he said Jesus was not yet glorified. If you are really going to drink of Jesus and be satisfied, you got to see him fully glorified. You've got to move past seeing him teaching in Jerusalem or on the dusty roads of Galilee. You got to move past him hanging on the cross or being buried in the tomb. You've got to see the resurrected Jesus in all his glory. That is the one in whom we believe. That is the one we place our trust in. That is the one who will quench the deepest thirst of our soul. Oh, in our hearts we must sing, "Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be from sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure." To come to Jesus and drink is to stand at the cross, see him dying there, but to understand that he died for our sins and he is alive today. And in all his glory and power, he has the ability to save us forevermore. So we have to believe in the glory of the Savior. But then, we have to be filled with the gift of the Spirit. Again, in verse 39, John says, "But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive." Jesus said that if you'll believe in me, I will put a river inside you. And it's going to flow out of you. And it's going to give you eternal life. Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when Jesus in his glory ascended to heaven, remember, he promised that he would send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised this in John chapter 15 and verse 26. Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? He is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. He's God. He is just as much God as the Father and the Son. I grew up thinking as a kid, well, he must be some kind of lesser in strength and power. No. No. He is the same as the Father and the Son, and he comes and he lives in us. The Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. He dwells inside our hearts and changes us from inside out. If you have believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross to save you from your sins, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, and you are trusting in the work of Jesus alone in his death and resurrection for your salvation, you know what? If you truly believe that and are not trying to earn your way to heaven or some other way, but just trusting in Jesus alone, by his grace, and it's a free gift. If you've done that, do you fully understand that God himself is residing in your heart? He is inside you. You don't have to be thirsty, in other words. You don't have to be there. I want you to look at this graphic. On the right is a sailing vessel caught in the doldrums. You know what the doldrums are? In the mid-tropic latitudes of the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, at certain times of the year, high pressure can set in. And when high pressure sets in directly over you, the wind does not blow. And the great oceans with their great waves can be as calm as glass. Now, why does this present a problem if you are a sailing vessel? It's a problem because you're stuck. Other than what little ocean current might be found in the middle of the ocean, you're not going anywhere. This was a problem for ancient sailing vessels. When they would sail from Europe to the New World, they would actually avoid the doldrums which are found in the equatorial latitudes. Because they didn't want to get stuck. Because what happens when you get stuck out there, and you could be stuck for weeks on end? You'll run out of food, and even more importantly, water. You run out of water to drink. In the 1700s, this is an absolute true story. In the 1700s, a Spanish sailing vessel was going to Brazil. And they got stuck in the doldrums. Days turned into weeks. And they ran out of water. They didn't have the technology or the knowledge of how to convert salt water into fresh water. And one by one, the sailors of that crew began to die. Dying of thirst has to be one of the most agonizing slow deaths I can imagine. Finally, in desperation, one sailor took a bucket on a rope and lowered it into the sea. He was so thirsty and out of his mind, he couldn't stand it anymore. And the other sailors were yelling at him, "Stop, don't drink that water, do not drink that water," because they knew if he drank salt water, the salt would hasten his dehydration and it would kill him quickly in his dehydrated state. Who knows if this sailor was just trying to end it all or if he's just so thirsty he was out of his mind. And he put the bucket to his lips and he drank and he cried out, fresh water. You know what had happened? See the map? That's a NASA satellite photo of the mouth of the Amazon River where it goes into the Atlantic Ocean. The Amazon is the largest river in the world. The volume of fresh water that flows into the ocean there is just unbelievable. And if you look closely at that photo, do you see offshore there, there's a blue line, a difference in the color? Do you know what that satellite photo is showing? It is showing where the salt water is of the ocean is pushed back by the fresh water of the Amazon River. Inside that transition zone, you're several hundred miles from the South American coast. You can't see the coast from there. That Spanish ship had for days and days and days been sitting in fresh water. Sailors died needlessly. They suffered in agony the whole time, sitting upon trillions and trillions of gallons of fresh water that they could have drank and lived. That's the application for us. You don't have to stay thirsty. Jesus has come and has provided what your soul needs. So if you stay thirsty, it's not because you don't have water to drink. If you stay thirsty, it's because you're choosing not to drink. You don't have to stay thirsty. Come and drink. And as Isaiah 12:3 says, come with joy and draw water from the well of salvation. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for giving us the water of life, Jesus. And Lord, my prayer today is that if anyone in their soul is longing for restoration, for salvation in you, it doesn't matter where they are, they're surrounded by living water, they will but receive it. So Father, I pray during this invitation that by faith, that you'll help us to reach out and just believe in the glorified Savior. And when we do that, we know that we will be filled with the gift of your Holy Spirit. So Father, draw us to you as we draw your living water to ourselves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stay.